Have you ever wondered what a pastor really does beyond Sunday sermons? In 2 Timothy 2, Paul gives young Pastor Timothy some critical advice about the role of a pastor. A pastor isn't just a preacher. He's a leader, a teacher, a counselor, and an example to others. Paul reminds Timothy to stay focused on teaching God's word, to work diligently like a soldier or farmer, and to be a vessel of honor in God's house. Here's Stephen with today's lesson.
What's a pastor supposed to do with his life in ministry? What exactly is a pastor to do besides being the guy who preaches sermons once or twice a week, maybe three times? Well, pastors are preachers, but they also serve as counselors, leaders, managers, students, examples, encouragers. They also set up a lot of chairs. They're sometimes elevated, frankly, too highly, and oftentimes, perhaps more often, not appreciated quite enough. A pastor's life is a mixture of delight and disappointment. But let me tell you, a faithful pastor is not going to trade his ministry in for any other job in the world. He might get tired in the work, but not of the work. Well, as the Apostle Paul nears the end of his life in ministry, he has the opportunity to tell Timothy, well, Timothy, it isn't worth it. You ought to get out of it now while you can. There just aren't enough mountaintop experiences. Instead, here in 2 Timothy now, chapter 2, he's encouraging Timothy to stay focused on his primary role in what a pastor's supposed to do. He gives it to us right here in verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Bible never commands a pastor or any believer to personally reach thousands of people? The command is to make disciples, and most often that's done one at a time. I often think of David and Savea Flood, who left Sweden for the heart of Africa back in 1921 to reach remote villages with the gospel of Christ. But when they arrived, every village rejected them. Well, finally, they went up a hillside overlooking a village, and they built a little mud hut, and they prayed for a spiritual breakthrough, but none came. Their only contact was a young boy who was allowed by the chief to come up that hillside and sell them chickens and eggs twice a week. Well, Savea Flood decided this is her only contact. She was going to teach him the gospel, and that little boy soon became a Christian. Well, during this difficult period, Savea came down with malaria right about the time she was due to deliver their baby, and their baby was born in that mud hut. In her weakened state, Savea died soon after giving birth to this little girl they named Ina. Well, David Flood left the mission field sometime after giving his daughter up for adoption to another missionary couple. Ina grew up to follow Christ. She ended up marrying a man who became the president of a Bible college in the United States. She knew very little of her past. But one day she saw a Swedish Christian magazine, and while she couldn't read the words, she saw a photograph of a jungle setting with a grave and a little white cross, and on that cross was the name of her mother, Savea Flood. Well, she quickly found somebody who could translate the article and learned the story of missionaries who'd come to the Congo years ago. The article talked about the birth of a baby girl, the mother's death, and how that little African boy had gotten saved, that boy had grown up and won all of the villagers to Christ, and there were now 600 believers and a vibrant church in that village. You know, beloved, we have no idea what God might do with just one testimony, one person, one pastor, reaching just one faithful person who then reaches others. Well, now, Paul presents some interesting images of a pastor's commitment. He compares him here in verse 3 with a soldier willing to endure hardship and suffering in order to please his commanding officer. He doesn't get involved in what Paul calls here in verse 4, civilian pursuits. That is, anything that might distract from his spiritual mission in ministry. Paul also compares him here in verse 5 to an athlete and then to a farmer in verse 6. An athlete and a farmer have this in common. They work very hard. And that's going to characterize anybody who serves the Lord effectively, whether it's in the pastorate, in church leadership, or not. With that here in verse 8, Paul gives them the example of the Lord himself. He writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David." As if to say, talk about suffering. Jesus suffered even death on a cross before rising from the dead. Paul goes on to write that the risen Christ, who was willing to suffer, well, he's the heart of the gospel. Paul preaches that gospel, and guess what? Paul writes here in verse 9 that just like the Lord, he too is now suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. So here's the question, is it worth it, Paul? Well, Paul answers that question here in verses 11 to 13. If we've died with him, well, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Imagine that. There's something the Lord cannot do. He cannot deny his own nature as a faithful God. Even, you might have caught that, when we are faithless, when we fail him, it is impossible for him to fail us. Well, here's another illustration in verse 15 of a hard worker. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Paul here applies the image of a construction worker to the Christian rightly handling or dividing the word of truth. The word he uses for handling refers to cutting a straight line, like a mason cuts a stone to fit in a specific place. The pastor, teacher especially, wants to be diligent in his study and precise in his preaching. He needs to be certain he's not preaching error. He's not teaching a crooked line, so to speak, a crooked opinion. Paul then tells the church leader here to avoid irreverent babble. That's empty talk that has no genuine spiritual value. This is the very opposite of preaching that handles Scripture correctly. Paul writes here in verse 17 that such empty false teaching can spread like gangrene. That is, it's going to become a deadly infection in the church. Now, evidently, there was an infection from false teachers in Timothy's region there in Ephesus. Paul writes here that Hymenaeus and Philetus have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. In other words, they were misinterpreting prophetic scripture and leading people into great discouragement and fear. And let me tell you, that's still going on today. Prophecy is being used to scare people and most often into buying their books. Now, there's one more picture of a good pastor here in this context of encouragement to young Pastor Timothy. Paul describes him as a vessel. Specifically here, a vessel of honor. In verses 20 and 21, Paul speaks then of a great house, and that's a reference to the professing church as a whole. He's comparing valuable vessels of gold and silver, that is, godly leaders, with dishonorable vessels, and those are false teachers. Now, the remaining verses here in chapter 2 describe how a godly pastor, and frankly, any Christian for that matter, ought to live. Paul begins here at verse 22. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. But I got to tell you, this is a challenge for every Christian, but it's certainly the calling for every faithful pastor who's carefully studying, teaching God's word, guiding and guarding the church. It's not an easy life. The demands of pastoring require the diligence of a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a construction worker. As the gospel is shared, perhaps with just a handful of people, maybe it's one person at a time. Well, that leads me back to thinking about David and Savea Flood. I mentioned earlier, they led just one little village boy to Christ many years after Ina, their daughter who'd been born there, found that magazine article as an adult, the wife of a pastor. She and her husband traveled to London to attend an evangelism conference. Well, they listened to the leader of a national church association representing more than 100,000 believers in Africa. Afterwards, Ina went up and asked him if he'd ever heard of David and Savea Flood. And he said, "Oh, yes. As a little boy, I used to sell them chickens and eggs twice a week." Well, when Ina told him that she was Savea Flood's daughter, he began to weep. And he said, "I've often wondered what happened to that little baby girl whose mother gave her life to lead me to Christ." Here's what every faithful pastor and Christian is to do, no matter what the result might be. Simply share the gospel and leave everything else to God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called, What's a Pastor to Do? As you've learned, a pastor's role is more than preaching. It's about faithfully serving and guiding others in their walk with Christ. Whether you're in ministry or simply living out your faith, Paul's words remind you that your work is valuable when you stay focused, diligent, and true to God's word. Can we lift you up in prayer as you seek to follow God faithfully? There's a link on our website that says prayer, and you can send us your request. We have a team who prays by name for every request that comes in. Visit wisdomonline.org. Then join us next time on this wisdom journey.